Greetings to all. You are listening to episode 301, How to Carry. And my name is Al Martinez, also known as Alpha Mike, and I am the host of Raider Cop Podcast. A lot of people might have tuned in because they were waiting for episode 301, which was wellness with Eminem, and we were going to discuss de-stressing. But because of certain situations that have happened in my personal life, which I'll get to the audience in a minute about, I've decided to postpone this 1 week, and because I wanted to experience something so I can bring it back to the audience firsthand knowledge, and I'll explain in a minute. If you are in the Tampa Bay area and looking for gun training or self-protection training, you can give us a call at Raider Cop Tactical. And our website is RaiderCopTac.com. That's RaiderCopTac.com. Give us a call at area code 813-942-7400. That's 813-942-7400. And if you're looking for training in pistol, revolver, shotgun, rifle, carbine, whatever it is, we can help you out. So give us a call, and we're here for you. And that's what this podcast is for too. We express knowledge all the time. This episode, How to Carry, it was something that kind of struck me on my last episode 300 with Fidel Gonzalez. And we were in the chit-chat phase of our podcast. And Fidel asked a specific question with regards to carrying. And although I never saw a question I didn't like, he hit the ball out of the park when he asked the question, because when you're a law enforcement or former law enforcement firearms trainer, you sometimes forget that the general population might not have that skill set. Some people do a lot of research, they go online, and they get schooled that way. They take courses. God bless them for taking courses. But the general knowledge in law enforcement is different, and so we have to explain it better. And I'm not saying it in an insulting way, but I can't come out in the podcast and basically say, well, you take a position. If you have a weapon, you have to draw that weapon. You're going to go to concealment or cover and assume that you know what I'm really talking about. You might have an assumption of what I'm talking about. So I got to break it down a little bit better, and that's on me, and that's what we're going to do in today's podcast. So the episode today is called How to Carry. We're going to look at about 10 or 11 things on the outline. Not going to be a very long podcast, but I think a very important one. Also, on the item that I spoke about earlier, recently my two little grandchildren and my daughter were involved in a vehicle accident. And at the same time, I have a health issue with a sibling of mine. So when it rains, it pours, right? And here I am the other day waiting for this 9 a.m. phone call from a team of doctors at a hospital with regards to my sibling. which I'm the provider. I'm the person that has to make these decisions of life and death. And so I'm waiting for this phone call. I had gotten it the day before. But they caught me a little bit off guard on that conversation. And so this specific day, I'm at the ready with Eminem, and we're going to tackle this head on. But instead of my phone ringing at 9 a.m. with these medical professionals on the issue of my sibling, it was a son-in-law telling me, my two grandkids and daughter were involved in a vehicle accident, and they were being rushed to a hospital and airlifted there. So I had to spring into action. And myself and Eminem, we did that. And we navigated through that tragedy. And it was a scary time, especially for the little ones. But it was confusing. We were going in different directions. First, we headed towards where I assume was the accident, I was told. Then I was diverted to another hospital. They're taking them there. And then, for whatever reason, that hospital was full. They were diverted to another hospital. So, divert in that direction at around 9:30 in the morning. So, a lot of traffic. It was a weekday. We made it to the hospital. And there was a time period where they stuck myself and Eminem in a room, told us to wait. And I felt a little uncomfortable with that. But they did explain to us that the kids were getting situated. In other words, one of my grandkids was arriving in an ambulance and the other one was arriving via helicopter. And so they were being attended to. Real quickly, they tell me, okay, we need Grandpa. That would be me to go come with us to the back of this trauma treatment room. I get there. I see my little grandson that's 7 years old and about 12 to 13 people around him. Medical professionals, fire rescue was there. And he was scared, naturally. And they told him that I was there and did he want to see me. He said yes. And he also wanted to hold my hand. I put my hand out and he squeezed it. He squeezed every finger. And off we went to a CT scan that they were going to do of course, his extremities, his head. And he had a very bad leg injury and cuts, bruises, and so forth. Off we went. He squeezed my hand the whole time. He was a trooper. He hung in there like a champion. When we got to the CT scan, they had to take him off the stretcher and put him on this, you know, the scan itself. He got a little scared, mostly because he had a very serious leg injury, and it was hurting prior to that. They had given him medicines or morphine to calm the pain down, but he thought it was going to hurt again. So I calmed him down, and I told him, you're going to be fine, buddy. They're just going to put you on the table, and that machine is not going to do anything to you but take pictures. It's not going to touch you. And he felt a little bit more comfortable. When they put him in the scan, as you start going through that, it looks like a tunnel, and you start moving in, he got scared again and started crying. And I told them, buddy, you're going to be fine. They stopped it. It's not going to touch you. I'm standing right here. I promise you, you'll be okay. They started up again. But this time, they did it a little bit slower. And they were going in nice and slow. And my grandson says, Grandpa, this is cool. He forgot he was scared. So it was a scary time for us. Thank God they're home. They're recovering. It was a scary time. But it put me to think a lot. You know, my last episode, number 300, I off the air. You know, we had a great conversation with Fidel, friend of over 30-something years. And so we gabbed on and off the interview. And I had told him, you know, I'm going to edit as best I can this interview because I've got an issue with a sibling that's in the hospital. Only the next day to have this issue happen with my grandkids. Tomorrow is not promise. Keep that in mind. We have to remember. So, have a plan. Be ready for the unexpected. Stay calm. Navigate through the crisis. And those that don't have the experience, the training, the patience, and the skill set to go through something like that, you've got to reassure them. And my grandkids did excellent. I am so proud of them. They did excellent. And so that brings us to the word that we're going to talk about. Word of today is going to be Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 to 35. And it says, Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The Lord here tells us about the last days. He's talking about it will be at the door. There will be signs. And we have to be prepared. There's a lot of people doing foolishness right now. There's a lot of people that are not paying attention to their own salvation. There's a lot of people that think they can last forever. But I'm here to tell you that tomorrow's not promised. And sometimes you have to turn off the TV, put away all that nonsense they're talking about politics and what they're trying to tell you, that the world is coming to an end. No, your soul may be coming to an end. And you need to be prepared to save it. That's why I share the word with you, for you can have a better understanding. The Lord's words, heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will always be there. God is real, and he is good. Today's episode is episode 301, and it is titled, How to Carry. It's an important small little curriculum that we're going to cover today. It's about 10 to 11 things on the outline. Short bus is pulling up. And I'm ready to present to you, with our clowns, How to Carry, episode 301. Episode 301, How to Carry. We're going to dive into personal protection, self-protection, how to carry a firearm. Especially if you're new in carrying, could be a challenging thing. So there's a couple of things that you must really know before you like carry out this day-to-day carry thing. The first thing that you should know is know your weapon. If you have a compact or semi-compact or subcompact, understand that the smaller the gun is, the less accurate it will be as well. Also, the smaller the gun is, it may have less rounds. So, understanding the farther you are from the target with a smaller weapon, smaller barrel, it may not be as accurate. So, that accuracy depends on you. Understanding also that the dynamics of the situation that is coming towards you and you feel that you have to defend your life or the life of another, you're going to be scared. You're going to second guess yourself. And you're going to act. How fast you're going to act, we don't know. You don't even know. But if you train, let me say that again. But if you train on a daily basis, your brain will kick in and you will know exactly what to do. Understanding what weapon you're carrying is important. If it has a safety on it, you have to train in disengaging the safety over and over and over again. If it is a small subcompact weapon, you may not be as accurate on it. Learn to shoot it also one-handed. You're always going to go to the range. You're going to practice with two hands, firm grip, punch out, we got all that, sight picture, sight alignment, and you're going to shoot the hell out of that paper. But I also want you to take advantage and shoot righty, shoot lefty, because you never know, you might get wounded in one of those two arms, and you might have to shoot one-handed, and it might not even be your strong hand. So you got to always keep that in mind as well. Understanding your training and your holster. Your holster plays a very important part in your training. The holster that you use for everyday carry, I do not suggest switching holsters like underwear every time you go out. Kind of use one or two holsters probably is a good thing, and understanding your carry position should always remain the same or within its proximity. Why? Because when the old shit factor breaks out, you might forget where you're carrying the weapon. Through that training constantly, you're going to remember, you're going to learn how to take the weapon out of the holster. The faster you do that, the faster you're going to engage the target. Your success rate is going to be greater. Now, you're probably going to be doing constitutional carry, depending on what state you live in. Whatever area you are listening to me, you need to know your own laws in your state. Okay? But if you are a constitutional carry, that means you're an American citizen, you've made no felonies, you can carry a gun and have proper identification in case law enforcement asks who you are, you can provide that information. And you're totally legal to carry that gun upon your person. Or there's permit carrying, that you have a permit. And in the case that law enforcement wants to ask you why you're carrying, you have permission from the state that you live in, you will present your permit. And knowing and understanding that these are the two ways that you can legally carry a gun in the United States. Now, once you understand the laws in the state that you live in, you're going to get through the event a lot easier. Okay? You're going to know that you have the right to defend yourself and the life, your life and the life of others in immediate danger. So understanding that firmly will allow you to survive the event. Understand that you have to really concentrate on training between the first yard line and probably the 15th. Now, I'm not stopping you from going to the range and shooting at 20 yards, 25, 50. Have at it. But the likelihood this is going to be a close quartered fight is great, because the statistics from the NYPD tell us that these fights are engaged within 3 to 5 yards, ranging between 3 to 5 seconds. That's how fast they go down. So practicing at 15 yards or less probably make you a better survivor in that event. Shooting left-handed, right-handed, both-handed, different positions. And I know a lot of ranges won't allow you to do it, so make your gun safe, clear, and empty. That means no bullets. And practice at home drawing out of the holster in the sitting position, in the lying position. You never know. Remember, the bad guy dictates the dynamics of what will happen. Did the bad guy pull a gun on you? Or did you see something and you have time to react? Or you have no time to react? You don't know what the dynamics are going to be. But I'm telling you today, the bad guy is dictating the dynamics. So train in all those events. As much as your imagination can run with, train it. If you can't do it at the range, make your weapon safe, clear, empty. Meaning no bullets. Keep the bullets in another room. You just need the gun safe with no bullets. And practice taking that weapon out of the holster. Learn to manipulate your clothing, your shirt, your belt, your pants, whatever it is, so you can get that weapon out of the holster fast and on target. It takes skill. It takes practice. It takes patience in order to get this done. Understand you have a weapon. What this means is you have to understand you are carrying a firearm. Don't be a cop. Don't run in between two people that are having fist fights and all of a sudden you are, hey, back it up, because you may be the idiot that brought the gun to a fist fight. One of the two assailants that are fighting figures out you have a gun. They might take that gun from you to kill the other guy. So remember, understand you have a weapon and the great responsibility that goes with that. You're really not in the position that you're going to take out your weapon to protect property. Oh, he's trying to take my sneaker. Or they're trying to take my number two pencil. So let me shoot him in the back. No, this is not a good plan. You're going to use that weapon, point that weapon, when you feel imminent injury or death is coming upon you or someone else. And if you don't act, this grave damage may occur. But understanding you have a weapon. And if you go for that weapon and you take it out, you should have no hesitation because you're allowed to do what you're about to do. Okay? Understanding your ammo. Make sure you have a real good ammo. And one place I can recommend is Lucky Gunner. Look them up, Lucky Gunner. They break down all kinds of ammo, depending on, you know. Now, your weapon in itself, whatever gun you purchase, the manufacturer will tell you what they recommend in grainage that you're, let's say it's a 9mm, they might recommend 115 grain. So, that's a good guide. But check out Lucky Gunner. Go on YouTube. There's a lot of these guys that are very good at what they do. And they do experiments with these big jelly clay blocks where they shoot at it with different ammo at a certain distance. And you know how that round is going to carry and work in real life. Okay? Understand your ammo. You know, a lot of the lawyers, when they sue, they try to scare people by saying you had a 152 grain rounds in your gun. Okay? But understand your ammo. Don't hide from it. Educate yourself in it. It's not that difficult. We discussed this earlier, training different positions on the floor, on your back, on your side, lefty, righty shooting. You know, you never know what position you're going to end up based on the dynamics of the bad guy, and you have to defend yourself. So keep that in mind. Training with both hands, as I said, is very important. It is hard to shoot with your support hand. This is why you should train. Let me repeat that. It is hard to shoot with your support hand. This is why you should train. Okay, you don't train because you're a bullseye marksman sharpshooter. You train because it is hard, especially with your support hand, to make you better. Understand what is a threat. So, if we don't understand what a threat is, then we're losing the battle. If a guy tells you, I'm going to hurt you, does that mean that's an automatic threat? Well, We need more facts, more evidence, more details. How close is he? Does it appear he has a weapon? Did he mention a weapon? Like, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to stab you. But he's across the street, about maybe 200 feet away. I don't know. Maybe with a gun. But, you know, not a slingshot. So, understanding what is a threat and that that threat is reasonably going to be carried out. They have the means to carry it out and the situation of deadly force is present. And lastly, research. What is the Jeopardy Triangle? Real quick, and I'm going to do a show on just this subject. The Jeopardy Triangle is opportunity, ability, and intent. Those are the three elements that have to be present in a deadly use of force. Okay? So, we're going to concentrate with that in another podcast down the road. But the ability to carry it out, they have the intent to carry it out, and you know that your life or the life of someone else is in great peril. It's important. So, ability, intent, an opportunity. Remember, they're important too. Jeopardy Triangle, you can start researching it as well. So we covered a lot today. But understanding your weapon is very crucial. What type of gun do you have? Is it a subcompact, a compact? Can you carry it all year long? Or is this just a summer gun and there's the winter gun? All these things make it very difficult. So start removing the fog and concentrate on something you can carry every day. Try to minimize all these holsters. Use one holster. Carry it in the same position. Train in taking the gun out safe, clear, and empty in your training module. No bullets. And take that weapon out of your holster repeatedly. Learn how to manipulate your clothing in order to get this done because you are carrying constitutionally and permit carry as well, which means it's concealed. Okay, so you're not like a cop where you have it on a duty belt and it's hanging on your side. Here, you have to manipulate clothing in order to get it. Keep that in mind. Practice from 15 yards or less. Practice with shooting both left and right, different positions. Understand what is a threat. Take the research of Jeopardy Triangle. And the number one thing that you need to do is have a plan for after the event. You will be calling 911. You will give a description of what occurred. You will describe yourself, what clothing you are wearing, so they understand that you're the good guy, not the bad guy, and that information gets out to the through the dispatcher to the police officers that are on their way. And you'll give a description if the guy's down or he ran away or whatever. But most important, you're going to need legal help. And I recommend you can use any program or legal policies that you want. But I am a member of the USCCA. I understand they don't work everywhere. I I know offhand that they don't, you cannot be a USCCA member in New Jersey. So NRA has insurance as well, and there are other providers out there too. Have something. Have something. Because first of all, you want to be justified in what you did, and you want to avoid any, you know, legal action, civil legal, after the event. You know, God forbid, an innocent bystander got shot and they want to come after you. So have a plan for after the event. Not necessarily have a plan prior to the event and what might happen, that scenario. Also have one for after the event. You're going to contact police, tell them over the phone what happened briefly, what you're wearing, where you're at, so they know you're the good guy. And they'll give you more instructions and you will follow those instructions. I would not make any other comment until your lawyer is present. Now, I'm not a lawyer and I haven't played one on TV either, but I can tell you, you start flapping those gums and it's going to appear in some criminal court. Have your lawyer there. And again, I use the USCCA, and I highly recommend you, the listener, get something. So that concludes our episode 301, How to Carry. And we're going to have more of these. We're going to start doing all kinds of scenarios to keep you thinking. And keep that in mind. We're also going to have in the month of May an episode of Bolo with Yalitza, a.k.a. Wonder Woman. She'll be out talking to us about clothing line, pictures, uplifting people with the word, and a lot of good things that she's been doing. So we're going to have her come out on our second Bolo interview of the year in the month of May. Up next for us, episode 302, Wellness with M&M. And I told you that I wanted to delay on this one because we're going to talk about those questions you need to ask medical professionals if a loved one of yours ends up in a hospital and what plan you should have. This episode is going to be interesting, and it's going to open up your eyes, probably things you've never thought about, and that's why we've delayed it a week. So that's episode 302, Wellness with M&M, and we're calling it Patient Advocate. As always, continue to keep yourself in prayer, because without you, we have nothing. Continue to pray for your family, your community, the law enforcement agencies that serve you, and most importantly, continue to pray for the United States of America. This is Alpha Mike, also known as Al Martinez. I'll see you downrange.
Chest 1322.